Chapter 24. He was the only jogger in Clanton, and for this he got curious stares from the ladies in their flower beds, and the maids sweeping the porches, and the summer help cutting grass at the cemetery when he ran past the Attlee family plot. The soil was settling around the judge, but Ray did not stop or even slow down to inspect it. The men who had dug the grave were digging another. There was a death and a birth every day in Clanton. Things changed little. It was not yet 8 o'clock, and the sun was hot and the air heavy. The humidity didn't bother him because he'd grown up with it, but he certainly didn't miss it either. He found the shaded streets and worked his way back to Maple Run. Forrest's jeep was there, and his brother was slouched in the swing on the porch.
"Kind of early for you, isn't it?" Ray said.
"How far did you run? You're covered in sweat."
"That happens when you jog in the heat. 5 miles. You look good."
And he did. Clear, unswollen eyes, a shave, a shower, clean white painter's pants.
"I'm on the wagon, bro."
"Wonderful."
Ray sat in a rocker, still sweating, still breathing heavily. He would not ask how long Forrest had been sober. Couldn't have been more than 24 hours. Forrest bounced from the swing and pulled the other rocker near Ray.
"I need some help, bro," he said, sitting on the edge of the chair.
"Here we go again," Ray said to himself.
"I'm listening." "I need some help,"
he blurted again, rubbing his hands fiercely as if the words were painful. Ray had seen it before and had no patience.
"Let's go, Forrest. What is it?"
It was money, first of all. After that, there were several possibilities.
"There's a place I want to go, about an hour from here. It's way out in the woods, close to nothing. Very pretty. A nice little lake in the center. Comfortable rooms."
He pulled a wrinkled business card from his pocket and handed it to Ray.
"Alcorn Village Drug and Alcohol Treatment Facility, a ministry of the Methodist Church."
"Who's Oscar Meave?" Ray asked, looking at the card.
"A guy I met a few years ago. He helped me. Now he's at that place."
"It's a detox center?"
"Detox, rehab, drug unit, dryout tank, spa, ranch, village, jail, prison, mental ward, call it whatever you want. I don't care. I need help, Ray, now."
He covered his face with his hands and began crying.
Okay, Ray said. "Give me the details."
Forrest wiped his eyes and his nose and sucked in a heavy load of air.
"Call the guy and see if they have a room," he said, his voice quivering.
"How long will you stay?"
4 weeks, I think. But Oscar can tell you."
"And what's the cost?"
"Somewhere around $300 a day. I was thinking maybe I could borrow against my share of this place, get Harry Rex to ask the judge if there's a way to get some money now."
Tears were dripping from the corners of his eyes. Ray had seen the tears before. He had heard the pleas and the promises, and no matter how hard and cynical he tried to be at that moment, he melted.
"We'll do something," he said. "I'll call this guy now."
"Please, Ray. I want to go right now."
"Today?"
"Yes, I can't go back to Memphis."
He lowered his head and ran his fingers through his long hair. "Somebody looking for you?"
"Yeah," he nodded. "Bad guys."
"Not cops?"
"No, they're a hell of a lot worse than cops."
"Do they know you're here?" Ray asked, glancing around.
He could almost see heavily armed drug dealers hiding behind the bushes.
"No, they have no idea where I am."
Ray stood and went into the house. Like most folks, Oscar Meave remembered Forrest well. They had worked together in a federal detox program in Memphis, and while he was sad to hear that Forrest was in need of help, he was nonetheless delighted to talk to Ray about him. Ray tried his best to explain the urgency of the matter, though he had no details and was not likely to get any. Their father had died 3 weeks earlier, Ray said, already making excuses.
"Bring him on," Meave said. "We'll find a place."
They left town 30 minutes later in Ray's rental car. Forrest's jeep was parked behind the house for good measure.
"Are you sure these guys won't be snooping around here?" Ray said.
"They have no idea where I'm from," Forrest replied.
His head was back on the headrest, his eyes hidden behind funky sunshades.
"Who are they exactly?"
"Some really nice guys from South Memphis. You'd like them."
"And you owe them money?"
Yes. How much?
$4,000.
And where did this $4,000 go?
Forrest gently tapped his nose. Ray shook his head in frustration and anger and bit his tongue to hold back another bitter lecture. Let some miles pass, he told himself. They were in the country now. Farmland on both sides. Forrest began snoring. This would be another Forrest tale. The third time Ray actually loaded him up and hauled him away for detox. The last time had been almost 12 years earlier. The judge was still presiding, Claudia still at his side, Forrest doing more drugs than anyone in the state. Things had been normal. The narcs had cast a wide net around him, and through blind luck, Forrest had sneaked through it. They suspected he was dealing, which was true, and had they caught him, he would still be in prison. Ray had driven him to a state hospital near the coast, one the judge had pulled strings to get him into. There he slept for a month, then walked away. The first brotherly journey to rehab had been during Ray's law school years at Tulane. Forrest had overdosed on some vile combination of pills. They pumped his stomach and almost pronounced him dead. The judge sent them to a compound near Knoxville with locked gates and razor wire. Forrest stayed a week before escaping. He had been to jail twice, once as a juvenile, once as an adult, though he was only 19. His first arrest was just before a high school football game, Friday night, the playoffs, in Clanton with the entire town waiting for kickoff. He was 16, a junior, an all-conference quarterback and safety, a kamikaze who loved to hit late and spear with his helmet. The narcs plucked him from the dressing room and led him away in handcuffs. The backup was an untested freshman, and when Clanton got slaughtered, the town never forgave Forrest Atlee.